Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When you pray, what do you pray for? If you're like me, you pray for practical things. I think the gospel is eminently practical. If you read the Gospel of John, what did Jesus do? He healed the sick. He fed people, not just with the word, but he fed them with bread. He was very practical. If you look at missionaries who go out on the field, they not only go out with their Bibles, they bring medicine, they bring education, they bring all the things that people might need to the area that they're ministering. The gospel is practical. And so I pray for practical things. Every single day I've been praying for my son to get a job, eminently practical. And the reason I'm praying is, first of all, he needs one so that he can take care of himself. And secondly, because if he doesn't, he'll have to come home. And as I've said to him, I love you, get out. So I invite you to pray with me for my kid to get a job, because nobody's going to be happy if he has to come home. We pray for practical things. We want God to answer those practical prayers. And God knows that we need things. We need a roof over our heads. We need food on the table. We even, in our Lord's Prayer, ask for our daily bread. Practical things. And Paul the Apostle was an eminently practical man. When he'd run out of money on his mission trips, he'd start tent making. When he was in jail, he would ask people to bring things. When he found out that a church was in trouble, he'd ask another church to help them out. Eminently practical. And yet, the prayer that he prays is a strange prayer that we read in Ephesians. It's not a prayer for people to help him out. He doesn't say, pray with me because I'm in prison and I'd like to be sprung. He doesn't say to them, pray with me because the emperor is evil and we want to overthrow him. Pray that he gets dethroned. Pray with me because of this evil system that we're in. He doesn't say, I'm praying for you that you will have health and wealth and good health. None of that. Here is what he prays. He said, I pray that God may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that passes all knowledge. In other words, he's saying, I'm praying that the love of God will be hardwired into you, that it'll get into your bones, into your very DNA. Because we all know, as essential as the things of life are, that there's something else beyond that. And that something else is the grace and the power and the love of God that can get us through even the darkest times. When Paul was writing this, he was in prison. Now, I've been to modern day prisons and they're flooded with light. Not so in Paul's time. If he had any light, it would have come from a small candle, or maybe a shaft, a beam of light would have come in. But his cell would have been quite gloomy. And yet Paul does not concentrate on the gloom. It's as if through the eyes of the Spirit, he looks up through the beam and sees the sun in all its glory. And that's what God gives to us as we pray that we might have some idea of Christ's love. He helps us to look beyond the darkness of our own lives and see glory. Scott Jose writes this: "This high, long, deep love of Jesus alone endures and stays with us beyond the boundary lines of our short time here on earth. It endures and transcends the narrow, shrunken boundary lines within which people try to lead meaningful lives on this planet. At the bright center of the universe is love, abounding, unimaginable love. It is the source of all we know. It is the deepest answer to our hardest questions. It is our destiny." Paul wants the Ephesians and everyone to be filled up to the brim of as much of this very love as we can manage to perceive. Because when that happens, the end of the matter is never-ending glory forever and ever. My friends, we live not only in this body of ours and in this life of ours, but we live in the backdrop of eternity. And I hope that we add to those eminently practical prayers that we pray every day, prayers for our friends, prayers for our loved ones, prayers for our own needs. Let us add the most important prayer, and that's the prayer that Jesus would fill all in all, so that when the darkness comes and the prayers are not answered and we wonder about life, we can reflect the love and the grace of God that can take us through the darkness. Let us walk with Jesus tomorrow in his love, in his light, and in his glory. Let us pray. Fear not, little flock, whatever your lot, he enters all rooms, the doors being shut. He never forsakes, he never is gone. So count on his blessing from night until dawn. Only believe, only believe. All things are possible, only believe, only believe, only believe. All things are possible, only believe. Lord, I ask that you give us the light that we need this day and always. May we become saturated with your love. In Jesus' name, amen.